All right. Here we've got this church right there in the middle of all this new beginning, surrounded by all the struggles, facing all the persecutions, all the finger pointings, all the difficulties, and God begins to establish this church built on the rock. And he says, I want you to know that as I build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I want to know what the church was founded on. And then I want to ask myself the question, to what extent can we say that we look like this church? The Encouraging
Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. That's that unique South African brogue you heard moments ago as we dive into this message on the undefiled church. In just a few moments, we'll dive into God's Word, but Dr. Wilton wants us to remind you that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. We can do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or we'd love to meet you on the phone as well. It's a little bit of an old school connection, but sometimes it's just what we need, a conversation with someone to pray with. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the indwelling power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We are so blessed. It's just an amazing thing to think that you would have saved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And yet we not ourselves, but Christ who lives in us. Lord, today we give you thanks for so much, for precious mothers and fathers and grandparents, loved ones, husbands and wives, and our children and our grandchildren, for a beautiful church like this. What a privilege you've given to us. And so today, Lord, as we study your word together, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a sense in my heart this week as I was studying and going through what God had given to us to consider in the book of Acts in chapter 11, and I want you to turn there with me. I had a sense in my heart that God was going to say something of a particular significance to all of us, to beginning with me. I obviously cannot make you do that, nor can any of us here. We're in church. But God, by His Spirit, will say it to you. I believe that this word that I'm about to share with you could well be one of the most significant words for us as a people that God has ever given to me in my life and my ministry, and particularly here in our beloved congregation. Now, why am I saying all of that? Sounds like I'm setting up something, and I don't mean that at all. But I do know that God is going to say something very significant. So here's what I want to share with you before I read to you from the book of Acts in chapter 11. You will remember back in Matthew's gospel, Jesus gathered his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? And some of them said, well, you know, you're a prophet, and some said you this and some said you that. And you'll remember how Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember that? And Jesus looked at Peter and he said to him, Peter, I want you to know that what I'm about to tell you, you are going to have a significant part to play, but you are not it. I am the rock. And I want you to know that it is upon me that I, the Lord Jesus, will build my church. And then he made a statement. He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Now, let me just go through that again. Because if you miss this, you're going to battle to get a hold of what is about to happen. Jesus said, you are Peter, and I'm going to use you. You're a little part of the big part. We know how God would use Peter, the Apostle Peter, as he uses all of us. But he said to him, upon this rock, the Petros, me, I am the rock. I alone am God. And upon me, on the Lord Jesus Christ, I, Jesus said, not you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So here's what I want to say to all of us today. I'm going to tell you that I see the gates of hell coming against the church in America today like never before. So I have to ask the question, why? What's going on? What's happening to the church? The gates of hell are infiltrating the church in America. There are many churches that are in trouble, that are breaking up, that are dividing, that are full of all kinds of problems, fussing, fighting, furying, firings. They're firing pastors and ministers left and right. People are not getting along. They're becoming divided. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on me, and when I do, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now, when you look at us today, we are First Baptist Church, Spartanburg, 250 East Main Street, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29306. We are one gathering. You look at our church, I love this church. I love this sanctuary. I love what God is doing. I love everything about this church. But you and I know that when Jesus spoke about the church, he was speaking about you and me, believers. We gather in buildings. The building is not what Jesus was talking about. So you cannot come and say, well, we had an earthquake and the windows fell out. That's got nothing to do with the gates of hell. When he spoke about the gates of hell, he was talking about an unbridled, unmitigated attack. Tonight in Wilton 101, I'm going to be speaking on the final satanic attack. But right now, let's focus on what's going on here. So Jesus made this statement, and then he lived his life, and when he was crucified, just before he went to the cross, he gathered his disciples, he taught them. Then he went and was crucified. God raised him from the dead. Then he went to the Mount of Ascension. And you'll remember in all of this, in the last book of the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, we find the Great Commission. Jesus made another statement. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching, preaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you until the end of the age. So we've got two things. We've got the church built on Jesus, against whom the gates of hell will never prevail. Then we've got this great admonition. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world. And so Jesus left. We go into this powerless period of time. And in the book of Acts in chapter 2, the Spirit of God comes down at Pentecost, and God sends his power to reside in each person, equipping every believer to be able to carry out what Jesus told us to do, both within the church and without the church. But between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 11, 7 years passes by. 7 years. And so from the time of Pentecost until the time of the book of Acts in chapter 11, 7 long years goes by before the church becomes the church. And how do we know that in chapter 11 the church becomes the church? Because in chapter 11, We find the church at Antioch, and the Bible is going to teach us very clearly in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 that this was the first time that God called the gathering of believers Christians. Now that's very interesting, because he didn't call them African Americans. He didn't call them Europeans. He didn't call them Jews. He didn't call them Gentiles. He didn't call them Irish or Chinese. He said, those who believe in my name, I designate them and I pronounce that their name be Christians. And it took 7 years for that to happen. So I'm just going to ask very quickly, why was there a 7-year period of time before the institution of the New Testament church and the marching orders to go into all the world, and when it actually happened? 3 reasons why. Number one, because God knew that he had to establish what we call apostolic authority, spiritual leadership in the church.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of those powerful points about who we're called to be as a church. You know, the undefiled church is today's title. And it's not about my church, your church. It's talk about all of us, the body of Christ. Are we pursuing a sense of purity in our own life? Are we revealing the prejudices that perhaps we've grown up with and need to let go of? Just know that if you are dealing with something that you need to perhaps let go of, to turn your back on, because you know God's calling you to something fresh and new, let us pray with you about it. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, connect with us keyboard to keyboard online at tewonline.org. That's T-E-W, like the encouraging word, online.org. We'd love to connect with you and connect with opportunities to get involved with the ministry. I want to say thank you. So many of you are using here in these holidays the Amazon Smile process of not only buying the tickets and concert elements and everything you'd buy on Amazon, things for Christmas presents, but each of those times you invest, some of that portion of the investment is coming to us as a nonprofit ministry. All the details are on our website at tewonline.org. Just look for Amazon Smile. Now let's dive back into today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Spiritual leadership was very important. So Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Amongst many other things, you see a group of people who begin to rise up and take the reins of spiritual leadership. Now I want you to listen very carefully to this, because this is fantastic stuff, to be honest with you. First thing I'm going to tell you is this. You show me a church today in America that does not have the right spiritual leadership, and I'll give you a reason why the gates of hell are destroying that church. It's the leadership principle. Now, I'm not going to get onto our country. You're going to start talking about the leadership principle. What God was saying is, listen, I want to tell you something. You have weak leadership in the church, the gates of hell will tear that church apart. Number two, the issue of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Let's remember back in Acts chapter 2, with a lot of respect, the church was very new at what the church was doing. They were babies in Christ. And it took 7 years for some of these brand new Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge and admonition of the Lord Jesus. And finally, in Acts chapter 11, we meet a whole group of believers who are no longer babies. They are spiritually mature believers. So my next announcement that I want to make to you is what God was trying to tell me is this. You show me a church today in which the church is overrun by spiritual babies in spiritual diapers, and the gates of hell will rip that church to pieces. No different to the way in which we look after our own children and grandchildren. They're not capable of making their own decision. I've got a beautiful little baby on the front row here today. I love that. What a beautiful little girl, is it? That little girl? Huh? A boy. What a beautiful little boy. You know, babies and little children don't take care of themselves. They need spiritually mature adults to do that. Well, there was a third reason why we had a 7-year wait, and you know what it is? It's called prejudice. See, folks, when the church was established by Jesus and began this extraordinary mission that God had given to them, the Jews were going ballistic. The Jews said, wait a minute, this Jesus and this gospel of Jesus is about us. Who cares about the Samaritans? Who cares about the Gentiles? The whole message at Pentecost, when tongues of fire came down, was that God demonstrated that this gospel was going to be given to all people so that all people might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Prejudice. Now, I've never shared this in this congregation, but let me give you an illustration. Do you know that about 20 years ago? In fact, I'm going to revise that. It was more like 22 and a half years ago in this church. On a Sunday morning, we had an African-American couple walk. I can still see them. They walked down this aisle, and they requested membership in our church, a wonderful Christian couple. By the way, I still know them very well. Very well. They came and joined this church, requested membership. Do you know 22 and a half years ago when I finished presenting this African-American couple to the new member fellowship committee, who would go and meet with them and regarding salvation and begin the process, I walked up this aisle in this great church and I went to that door there to shake hands with people. And when I got to that door there, people came by, and eventually there was one couple left standing there. Let me tell you who this couple was without giving you their name. They had been members of this church for over 50 years. I was the new kid on the block. They were a wonderful people. And by the way, I just want to tell you, I never stopped loving them after what I'm about to tell you. That man walked up to me standing right there, and he said to me, Dr. Wilton, my wife and I want you to know how very happy we are that you and Mrs. Wilton have come to our church. We think you are exactly the right person. We are so thrilled. And they were very kind and generous in what they said to us. And then he said it to me. He said, Dr. Wilton, because we love you so much, he said, you know that couple that came to join our church this morning? I said, yep. He said, they're not welcome here. I said, what do you mean they're not welcome here? He said, don't get me wrong. He said, I've got nothing against them personally, but they were like to worship in their own church, but not here. We don't do that. And then he said it. He said, you're obviously not from around these parts. Well, some of you are going to say, well, what was the outcome of this little tar-tay-tar that we had at the back door? I was the new kid on the block. I looked and very respectfully, I said to that man, sir, I said, I need you to know that as long as I am pastor of First Baptist Church, everyone is welcome to come and worship the Lord Jesus in this place. And he said to me, he said, well, I'm afraid you're going to lose a lot of members, and I want you to take a close look at my face and see whether you detect any concern on my part over that. They did leave, and I remained friends with them for years. But I didn't agree with them. Why 7 years between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 11? Number one, the issue of spiritual leadership. Number two, the issue of spiritual maturity. And number three, the issue of pride and prejudice. When you get to Acts chapter 11, those three issues are settled. Spiritual leadership has been established. Spiritual maturity has risen up among the believers. And prejudice has walked out the back door. Because all of a sudden, Peter came and he said, we believe that Christ died for all people. And in fact, in the preceding verses to the one that I'm going to read to you, beginning at verse 19, they finally got to the point, because of spiritual leadership and spiritual maturity, that they said, absolutely, we understand that this gospel is no longer just for the Jews. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free, because we're all one in Christ Jesus. In fact, it bothers me greatly how many people have got so much to say about women's rights in America, but they have nothing to say about the abuse and the persecution of women in Arab and Muslim countries all across the world. Something's wrong. And so we find ourselves being presented with the undefiled church. And I believe, beloved friends, when we study the church at Antioch, which was the first Christian church, one can extrapolate from the church at Antioch foundational principles according to God's economy that constitute the undefiled church. Let me read it to you. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who coming to Antioch spoke to the Jews also, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this report came to the ears. All right. Here we've got this church right there in the middle of all this new beginning, surrounded by all the struggles, facing all the persecutions, all the finger pointings, all the difficulties, and God begins to establish this church built on the rock. And he says, I want you to know that as I build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I want to know what the church was founded on. And then I want to ask myself the question, to what extent can we say that we look like this church? First called Christians, they were given one name. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up, foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world, which historically, you know, came to fruition during the reign of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief, to give, and to send relief to all those living in Judea. And they did so, sending it out to through the elders by the hands of Barnabas and of Saul.
Such powerful truth. Nothing can prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you understand that great truth and are assured of your place in the body of Christ. It's not about membership in my church or your church or that church you drove by a little while ago as you're listening on the radio. It's about belonging to Jesus and knowing that your eternity is secure. Would you like to speak to someone, pray with someone about that right now? We'd love to connect at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. We're available not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day, and would love to pray with you, listen, give you some opportunities to connect with some great resources. You can do that also online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Before we get away, though, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow.
And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If God stirred your heart, let's talk right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org. And that's the place you'll find this wonderful resource for 2020 about studying God's Word every day.
This year, again, I was blessed to join with several pastors and Christian leaders from across the country in writing a brand new 52-week devotional called The Heart of Worship. I want to make a copy available to you and for you to have copies that you can get to send to your families and friends at Christmas time. What a wonderful Christmas gift to give to those that you love. In fact, as we begin a new year, begin it with God. So thank you, my friends, for picking up the phone and calling to request the Heart of Worship devotional today. God bless you.
The number to call is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
Preacher Wilton, thank you for your prayers and your messages throughout the world. I have always enjoyed your words and how you break it down and explain it so I know exactly what you're saying. I was brought up as a child going to church and was saved and baptized at a camp at a church in North Carolina. I have never faithfully given my tithes on a regular basis, but I prayed about it and I feel that I got an answer from God when I got your letter about contributing to the Encouraging Word. I feel like it would help me to know that I was helping to spread the Word of God in Jesus Christ throughout the world. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you, Dr. Wilton, and your work.
I would like to take this time to testify what the daily Encouraging Word devotional has meant to my spiritual life. Out of all the devotionals I ever encountered, this one has to be the most inspirational to speak the revelation knowledge in my life. It has blessed and allowed me to seek God's purpose for my life. It seems to always speak to my situation at just the right time.